Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Today, I want to talk a little bit about being doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. And if you're like me, sometimes you look in the mirror and you start picking on yourself. Anybody ever look in the mirror and you're like, that's out of shape and this is not right and that's not... Let's try it again. Anybody ever look? If you stared at your eyebrows too long and thought, man, that's weird. I don't know why I have hair right above my eyeballs, you know, and you get just... I think there's two people looking in the mirror. You've got you, the real you, and then you've got the body or the human you. And the human you, a lot of times, is talking about you're not good enough, you're too tall, you're too short, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too dark, you're too light. All the time, he's trying to convince us of what we're not. And the Bible has a lot to say about if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So today, if you receive Jesus, that's great. Jesus in your heart, but it takes a while to redial your mind up, especially if you came from an abusive past where you were told what you're not, or hey, sit down, shut up, or abused, molested. There's just a lot of different things that have happened to people that are terrible and unfortunate. Some people never even share those, and maybe, you know, you don't have to. Some people go through therapy and talk to people and release it. Some people hold it in their whole life. But I promise you, what I want to do really all this month of July is to get us one step closer to knowing who we really are. So when we look in the mirror, we don't just see negative thoughts about ourselves. In fact, you're just too hard on yourself. You wouldn't treat other people the way you treat you. You wouldn't talk to other people the way you let yourself talk to you. So I want to work in the next few weeks on getting you to the right space and place in your head, in your heart, to where you can change the way you think so you can change the way you live. And when you get that revelation of who you are and what you have in Christ, then all of a sudden now, when you look in the mirror, you don't hate yourself. You start high-fiving yourself and saying, you know what, there's an overcomer. That girl right there is one good-looking chick. Come on, somebody. Is everybody going to want to go out with her? Because you're not seeing yourself with your own eyes and your natural eyes, because they lie. Your natural eyes lie to you and tell you you're supposed to look like this. In fact, let's just one more minute on this. Have you ever seen people that looked really great? I have a friend he's dating again after his wife passed away, and he said, I didn't even think he's kind of old to know this term. He said, I went on a date the other night, and I was catfished. Come on, somebody. He got catfished. He said, I went there, and he looked at her, and he said, he didn't look nothing like her. And she didn't look. She had face-tuned herself into a different person. But I'm telling you that you will have to introduce yourself to yourself in a year from now if you get a hold of this word and start living the word, start breathing the word. Somebody ought to give God praise today. It'll change you. So James, let's go to James chapter 1, verse 22. I'm in the Amplified Bible. It said, but be doers of the word, obey the message, not just merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. So we reason our way out. Well, I'm supposed to learn to live with this. This is the way it is. This is the current state. This is the economy. No. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in the mirror, has thoughtful observances of himself, then he goes off and promptly forgets what he looks like. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law of liberty, faithfully looking at it, he preserves it, gets in his heart. And it says he is an active doer. Everybody shout, an active doer. He shall be blessed if you're an active doer. So when you look in the mirror, talking about the word of God is what God is speaking of here. And you can easily forget on Monday what you learn on Sunday. I'm an overcomer. I'm blessed. I'm strong. I shouldn't be disappointed in myself. Shouldn't be saying those negative things about me. Then that old way of thinking comes back in. And then you go into the world. And if you don't have enough word in you and you get out in the world, you'll divert to the world's philosophy and the way they think, how they form their thought life and the way they act. They're depressed based on the economy. They're depressed based on who's in office. We're staying even because we're not moved by what we see. We're moved by the Word of God. Our life is founded on the rock. Go ahead, give the Lord praise today. They're in the hospital. You deceive yourself. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer. I love this statement. You should write it down. The only part of the word that'll work for you is the part that you work. The only part of the word that'll work for you is the part that you work. So when the Bible said, do not worry, it only works if you don't worry. I've worried about stuff. I was such a good worrier that sometimes I've worried that I wasn't worrying. My grandfather was a champion. Champion worrier. If it was an Olympic sport, he would have won. And then my dad, he was a close second. And then I came in there, and then all of a sudden now I'm renewing my mind and going, wait a minute, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. It's not my problem. This is God's problem. I'm stepping out in faith. I'm speaking the word. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. Come on, somebody. My mind's going to get in alignment with the assignment all my life. Now, there's times in your life, though, where you got to look out and find out who you're actually living your life with. I always say it, I say it a lot because I want you to really get a hold of this. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Quick story. I grew up and my aunt, Ruth, she's amazing, I loved her. She died in her early 50s of cardiovascular issues and sugar diabetes, and you'll find out why in a second. My aunt loved to drive through different restaurants. Florida, you don't know anything about this, but there's a place here called Ted Drew's, okay? And it's just a frozen custard place. And then there was White Castle, and then there's Rally's. And she would literally, me and my cousin, she would drive us. I'm like 13. She would drive us and go here for the fries and here for the hamburger and here. I mean, she was incredible. She died early, but what a way to go, right? But when I was growing up in that world, fashioned after that, nobody ever taught me about health and nutrition. Nobody ever spoke into my life that way. I was actually formed, fashioned, and a product of my environment. Then one day, I started hanging around some other people, and I remember going to a buffet, and there was everybody at the buffet were just jamming tons and tons of food on their plate. And I looked, and everybody there seemed like they were struggling a little bit with their weight. Then I went to another restaurant, and they just gave a little bitty portion. And I noticed that those people look different than those people. Now, this isn't about weight right now. I'm just saying that wherever you want to go in life, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So you're at the right place today. Give it up for yourself for going to church. These are successful people. Then we must go a step further and say, wait a minute, you can make excuses or you can make progress, but you cannot do both. You can make excuses or you can make progress, but you can't do both. The reason I am the way that I am is because, and I realize that bad thing happened to you. It might have been bad and it happened to you way back then. My dad on his toolbox, he had a big old Snap-on toolbox and it had all kinds of statements, crazy statements that would be highly offensive to a lot of people. Like, cats taste like chicken. Okay, that would be one. Another one he had there was, don't steal, the government hates competition. But he had various statements that he had put up there. And I remember reading these statements thinking, these are kind of the ways that my dad thinks. Some statements that you have on your life. And one of the statements that I loved, it was the biggest sticker, and it said, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. It's never too late to have a happy childhood. I want you to get unstuck today. And realize that that stuff happened to you. Some people even flip the scripts and say, it didn't happen to me, it happened for me. Because God turned all things together for my good. In fact, I wouldn't have a platform if that hadn't happened to me. Raise your hand if it's making sense to you, okay? So again, we've got to reframe our mind and not just hear the word, but we've got to do the word. I have a friend, Charlie. Come here, Charlie. I see you up there. I want to bring you up. So Charlie and I, you're going to see a big difference between this friend of mine goes to church all the time. I'm his pastor, been a pastor for a long time. We go to the same gym. Listen to the same music. Lift the same weights, mate, howbeit different weights, but we're listening to the same music, same weights. It's sad to say, we have the same trainer. y'all see where I'm going right now. I'm embarrassed right now. And I told him, I said, wear a black tank top, because I want you just to show just for a second. We go to the same gym, but there's a huge difference between the way he looks. Look at my arms and look at his arm. Come on, somebody. Look at my arm. Look at my little chest and look at his chest. Same gym, same music, same weights. But here's what he does. He says, I can't eat that because I went to the gym. I can't do that because I went to the gym. I go to the gym and I go, oh, I can eat the donut because I went to the gym. I can sit on the couch because I... Somebody ought to shout amen. Get out of here. I'm here to tell you right now that you can go to the same church, hear the same word, read the same Bible, and God will bring victory to one, and the other one says, it must be something wrong with my Bible. You didn't get a bad Bible. We just got to be not just hearers of the word, but we got to be doers of the word. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Yeah, man. And his woman told me to tell you that he's taken. Matthew 7, verse 24. She didn't say that, but I'm wise. She does agree with that statement. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did fall. For it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. But everyone here hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and great was the fall of it. I want to think about that for a minute. The word doesn't just reveal, it's meant to transform. So the word doesn't just reveal, it's meant to transform. So when you go to church and you hear the word and say, wasn't that a cute message? Wasn't that a cute illustration? Wasn't that a nice Bible verse? No. The word reveals something in you, and then it starts transforming the way you think. Because the way you think determines how you be. If you think you're a loser, you'll be a loser. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So when we come and we hear the word, over and over, you can't just go to church, but you hear the word, and now you're doing the word, it'll start transforming the way you think. I've got a question here and in Florida and online. Have you been coming to the church long enough to actually experience some of this to where in the past you would have responded a different way than you do now? You're like, oh, totally responded different. So good. It makes me so happy. It's like, oh, I don't think that. I don't do that. I am a Christian. Then the devil will come and say, you don't act like a Christian. You go, I'm not acting. I am a Christian. Yeah. My daughter doesn't always act like my daughter. My grandkids don't always act like my grandkids. In fact, sometimes when they act a fool, I go, somebody needs to deal with those kids. Who are the world's kids? But I'm here to tell you that God does not judge us based on our performance. He loves us no matter what state we are. But it gives God glory when we transform our mind, and now we just don't go to church, get a hold of this. We actually become the church. So this weekend here, you know, a lot of you came to church, and I'm proud of you. Nothing, no digs on people that took vacation and so on. You have to do that. But at the same time, back to the gym analogy. You can go to the gym and get a membership, and then a year later, go back to the gym and say, hey, I got a problem. I want my money back because it is not working. And then they look at, said, pull up your name, and then you only signed in two times all year. It says here that your card scanned two times. You all follow me right now? So think about that with church. So we come to church and we hear the word. I think that your life really gets transformed when you get around people. When you get around the right people, they start bringing out the best in you. They start asking questions about you. That's why I want you to go to Growth Track. Let's unpack that. Why do I want you to go to Growth Track? So you can connect with God, okay, which you kind of did here, but we're going to help you connect with God on another level. Then you connect with people, so you're not just going to church. You actually have some accountability, and now you're serving at church. Connect with God, connect with people. Then we help you discover your purpose. Then you make a difference. Some of you might be saying, well, I want to discover my purpose. I want your job. Well, we're looking for campus pastors, okay? And then some people might say, well, I don't really want to do what I do during the day. I'm program or I do that. No, you don't have to do what you do during the day. You could find your skill set and gifting here because there's people every week that come to this church at all of our campuses. And when they walk in, they look good, but things aren't good. Their husband just left them. Their wife just betrayed them. A loved one just died. And they got on their game face. In fact, a lot of times, does this make sense? That a lot of times people come to church just because, hey, this is bad. I think I probably ought to go to church. Raise your hand. So we get people at their last resort a lot of times. They call out to God. So now that we're here, Charlie that was up here, he's very faithful. He's always here. We got a team of people that are serving here and in Florida. And so there comes a point that I want to push you to say, wait a minute, maybe my life has success, but does it have significance? There's a difference between success and significance. Success might look good in your bank account. Success might look good in your car. Success might look good over here. But significance is where you've used your life to change somebody else's life. And here's what I know. I want to ask you a question. Everybody kind of wants to be a hero. You probably won't be honest, but I'm going to see if you'll be honest, because I've fantasized about this in my life, that somebody was drowning and I saved them as a young man. I've had situations where I was pulling people out of a car. Anybody that would be honest and say you kind of wanted to be a hero, like, you liar, somebody's just me. You say, man, I want to be a hero. I'll take it a step further and say that I promise you that you probably would if you were forced into a situation where you're like, man, I got to do something. We saw that with the recent tornadoes. Even all our church family in Florida, you guys all said, hey, we're all in. And our whole church, just when the government didn't show up, we had thousands of red shirts hitting the streets. In fact, in downtown St. Louis, even the local churches there worship our church. The local people there say, they're on the news shouting, Faith Church showed up. Go ahead, give it up for yourself. You guys were heroes. But it wasn't just the people that were hearing the word. It was the people that gave us the number, filled out the little gold card, took the next step so they can engage. Those are the heroes. So if you had an opportunity and you saw a car on fire, wouldn't you stop? You wouldn't just pass by and say, oh, I hope they get better. Wouldn't you try to help? God, I hope I'm never in trouble with you people. Come on, sir. Would you try to help? Okay. I know, just poking fun at you. Well, we have that opportunity every week. When you're a part of the dream team, you're in that huddle every week where we pray together. You're saying, wait a minute, I'm not just a hearer of the word, I'm a doer of the word. I'm going to use my life to change somebody else's life. And there, probably 2 months, there in Lake Worth, we're starting a brand new church. And we need the balconies, or they're working on them now, and the audio, they're working on them now, and the enemy attacks. He's attacking. We had a lightning strike hit our church at the Royal Palm Beach this week, knocked out a $40,000 soundboard, $80,000 lighting situation. We got a problem in Lake Worth. But what do? Oh, quit. God must not be real. Lightning struck our church. No, it's just the devil trying to wear us out. But all it made me do is say, guess what? We're coming back. We're building back stronger. We're building back better. Oh, yeah, we got 2 months to start another church. Try your biggest shot, devil. Somebody ought to give God praise today. You come back after a setback. You come back after a setback. You don't lay back and cry. Get in the game. Make a difference. Hebrews 4:2. It said, for indeed the gospel was preached to us all, well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. They all heard the word, but it didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. You know the scripture. Faith without works is dead. Faith is a verb. It's an action. It's not just one that's, oh, I hope it gets better. No, no, no. Faith hears the word and goes, that's going to happen for me. I heard recently about a church that got a one gift from one person for $15 million. I did not get jealous. It came up. I'm at church. Can I tell you the truth? Just a little bit. But then once I got past that, I thought, wait a minute. Somebody gave that church $15 million? Well, good for them. That means that there are some people in the world that are generous with $15 million. And boy, could we ever use $15 million. Y'all see what I'm saying right now? So I mixed my faith with it. Instead of cursing it, I mixed my faith with it. And I said, oh, somebody's going to give us $15 million. I'll settle for 10. What about you? Okay? I'm not picking. Mix your faith with what you hear in the Word. If it's in the Word, it's for you. It's yours. It's mine. Romans 2, verse 13 says, for not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law are justified. Luke 11, 28 said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. In other words, it's not enough to glance at the mirror and say, oh, there's the reflection of who I am. You need to look in the mirror. I think I got a little meme of a cat. Y'all have seen this probably, where a cat looks in the mirror, and that mirror, what matters most is how you see yourself. Do you see yourself as a cat, or do you see yourself as a lion? Do you see this as an opportunity or an obstacle? Do you see this as something you can overcome, or something that's going to overcome you? How you see it is how it's going to be in your life. How you think about it. How you perceive it. And then you need those people around you that are going, go, 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 go. Let's do it. Go, go, go. You can do it. But if you're not on a dream team, you didn't go through your growth track. Today in Florida, you're sitting in the high school. To my left, Gable pointed out, at the end of the service, there'll be a person with a big flag over there. And I want you to go through growth track. Why? Because we got to build up a team for you to be the church to change people's lives, because in St. Louis County and in Monroe County and in Palm Beach County, there's people that are hurting and far from Jesus. And you know who's going to help them? Who's going to rescue them out of the car? Who's going to rescue them out of the trouble and the trial? You say, well, who's going to do it? It's you. You're the one that God has blessed with the insight to go to church and have the desire to lift your hands and have the desire to raise your faith up and your family up in the house of God. That's you. Give yourself a hand. I'm proud of you. So when you look into the mirror, what do you see? Who do you identify as? I'm getting ready to leave the country in a few days on a trip, and I always know where my passport is. It's in my backpack in a little zip compartment. I always have it with me, and I know exactly where it's at. I never leave home without my passport. I have crazy cool opportunities. Plus, it's a really cool form of ID if you lose your regular ID. But when I leave this country, that passport that I have that has been issued by the government of the United States of America that proves that I am a citizen, that gets me in and out of different countries. It also, being in other countries, gives me the ability, should anything happen, that I can go into the United States Embassy where I can seek help and protection from the government in which I was born into. I identify as an American. On my driver's license, it says that I am a resident of Florida. Born in Missouri. What a confusing little life I have. Nicole's is worse than that. She was born in Canada. Raised on a rock road, House Springs, and now a resident of Florida, and married to me, with a last name like Crank. Come on, somebody. God, love that girl. Get this. You now, your new identity, when you look in the mirror, you have a heavenly passport that has given you spiritual identity that realizes that you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, you're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, and this Bible right here proves that you are, that you belong to God. You are here, but you are a citizen of heaven. When I'm in France in a couple weeks, I'm not a citizen of there. I'm a citizen of here. I'm visiting there. Get a hold of this. You're not really a citizen of this world. That's why you don't think like everybody else. That's why you don't fit in with everybody else. That's why your thinking is different. You're thinking like a champion. You're thinking like a child of God. You're thinking like a spiritual person who's identifying as a Christian. And now you realize, I've been granted access into the Father to ask him whatever I want. I'll close with this. Look at your neighbor and say, he's a liar. He's not closing. My daughter, when she goes to our house, comes in our house, she doesn't say, my most gracious earthly father, if it be your will, may I approach the refrigerator and get something out of it. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. No, it's ridiculous. She just comes right in the house and opens up the refrigerator and gets whatever she wants, takes the milk all the way to the bottom before she tells her mom that you need to order. You're supposed to, y'all go with me on this right now. You don't eat all the Oreos and then tell us you're out. Don't even get me started. She was granted access through my blood into my house, and not one time has she ever thought, I'm not worthy. She thinks she's so worthy. She thinks she's so worthy that she can eat it all, mess it all up, and then she thinks I'll clean it up. And you know why? Because I do. And then her mom says, you are enabling her. You have to stop it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to tell her. As soon as she comes back, I'm going to tell her. And then when her mom ain't looking, I just clean it all up. I'm here to tell you that you have a father that is going to clean up for you. He's going to lift things up for you. He's going to provide for you. You can identify as a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Somebody ought to give him praise today. Yeah, that's who you are. You. And that's why the devil hates you. I got this quote I want to put up. I want you to pull out your phone if you'd like. Take a picture. What you see in the Word determines what you'll believe in the world. So when you see there's lack, confusion, you go, no. I've been going to church long enough to know, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I've been going through growth track, and I'm connected. I'm in a group, and Pastor Mark or Pastor Gabe or Pastor Austin, Pastor Casper, all these different pastors are around me, and they're speaking life into me, so I know I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out, and everything my hand touches turns to good. You get a bad diagnosis and you go to the doctor and they give you something you don't want to hear, then you say, they say, you're going to die. And you go, no, I hear that's a natural report, but I have a report that comes from my Father that says with long life he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. Psalms 107:20 says he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from all their transgressions. Isaiah 53:5 says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. Not going to get it. We are healed. We were healed 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. So whatever, put that back. What you see in the word determines what you believe in the world. So when you watch the news, you ought to just say, I don't believe it. You watch the stock market, I don't believe it. It doesn't mean that that's not actually happening in the world, but you remember, you're not really from here. So again, the gym analogy. It's very easy for me to take my calorie count that I do every day and blow it on things I like. Tastes good. I don't know because I didn't ask him, but it would be way over 200 grams of protein that he would take in a day. What would you be at? 350 grams of protein a day. I struggled to get 110 because, you know, I got fat by a snack accident. Come on, somebody. Just a little bit of candy over here. You ever been surprised how much stuff you ate? I don't think I ate much at all. Then you pull out your pocket and you're like, my gosh, there's 15 wrappers of those Kisses. I mean, those Hershey's Kisses get me all the time. I pretty much made out all day. I don't know what happened here. Because we're not really strategic in what we put in our mouth. And it's very visible. There's a difference between me and him. Same gym, Same weights, same music, same trainer. One is doing it. And guys, I'm under a lot of pressure, for God's sake. Come on, somebody. Those are excuses. And you can make excuses or you can make progress. But you've got to choose today. Which one are you going to go for? And as I close, I want to say this. I believe in you, and you can do it. And I know that some of you have been down on yourself, and you've been talking negative talk to yourself. And you have, Nicole's working right now, and I'm hearing her study a lot on limited beliefs, and she's writing a book and all about limited beliefs, and I'm trying not to, she reads it all to me, and then I'm trying not to preach her books. I don't want to get sued. Come on, somebody, at my own house. I'm already in trouble with Ashton. Come on, that'd be horrible, wouldn't it? Pastor David gets sued by his wife for stealing the information, right? Well, I got a statement that says you got eyes, plagiarize, right? But limiting beliefs will really hold you back. That cat picture, put it up one more time, that cat picture. That cat must have read Nicole's book, her new book coming out. Because that cat doesn't have that kind of limiting belief. I look in the mirror and I see a lion. You look in the mirror, I want you to start saying, I'm blessed, even if you don't feel like it. I'm blessed, I'm favored, I'm anointed, I'm strong, I'm happy. Even if you're crying sad, I am happy, I am full of joy, and I got the victory. Come hell or high water, I'm not going to lose my mind. I'm not going to cave in. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm not going to grow weary in well-doing. I will reap if I faint not. Devil, shut up. But no weapon formed against me will prosper, including me. I'm going to walk out my purpose. I'm not confused about my identity. I am a child of the Most High God. Come on, give him some crazy praise today. Woo! Man. All right, stand up so I shut up. I have a question to ask you. How many of y'all, it helped you, stirred your faith? Raise your hand. Okay. There in the high school, online. I want you to share this. Hit share in any aspect that you can. Share with your friends about this sermon if it helped you. Share that YouTube link. Get it out there. We got a job to do. Somebody asked me the other day, how'd you grow this church this big? Or how'd you get these churches? I didn't try. I just helped one person at a time. And then when I looked up, another person had told another person, and then another person told another person, and then next thing you know, you got this big old snowball moving forward with people that cared about people. And I know you care. Some of you have been here for a short time, and some of us grew up together in kids ministry. But we're going to do this. We're going to finish your course. You're going to do what God called you to do. Would you allow me to pray for you right now? Stretch your hands toward me at every campus. God, I'm so honored today to have the ability and the privilege to pastor such incredible people. God, I ask you to stir up their faith, that they walk out their purpose, that they stop being confused about their identity, that they fulfill their calling. God, today, maybe we ought to hear this word over and over again and go, wait a minute. I can see in Teresa in Florida. I'm thinking about her right now. Teresa is always pushing people into saying, hey, you got more in you. I remember telling Lou and Wendy, you got more in you. Wait, God, we're going to surround each other into small groups so we push each other forward. We make a difference. Right before we go, would you grab the person's hand next to you? I know it's kind of awkward. We typically don't do that, but I'm led of the Lord to do it, to pray a unity prayer. God, right now, as we join hands here in Florida and all of our campuses, we're all in unity, and we know one thing for sure, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. We know that you have identified and given us this great gift called the Holy Spirit living and abiding on the inside of us. We know that God right now is our Father, and he's making intercession for us in heaven so that we can be seated in the rightful spot. And we know for sure that the devil is trying to deter us and trying to distract us. The problem with distraction is you don't know you're distracted when you're being distracted. You just wake up and you're way off course because you got distracted. But I say right now that we're not going to be distracted any longer. Today's the day, not next week. Today's the day they're going to go through growth track. They're not going to allow the enemy to set them back. They wonder why they haven't felt fulfilled. They haven't felt the significance that they needed. But they're going to get involved. They're going to start serving instead of swerving and doing what God called them to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody that received it, say amen and amen. Give the Lord a great big hand of praise today if you love him. All right. You can be seated as you watch this.